Take your Bible, please, this morning to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 10. It is the passage that we have been seeking to commit to memory as a church this month. And our theme for Missions Month has been, how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they hear without a preacher? And that is what we're going to look at this morning. Romans chapter 10. Thank you for all those that made the effort to come out Tuesday and Wednesday night for the missions conference. Trust the Lord spoke to you concerning the cause of missions. And as we have our final Sunday in Missions Month, thought it was appropriate that we finish with the title of our theme for the month. Romans chapter 10, we'll begin in verse 9. Romans 10, 9. that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Let's open our time together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. We ask, Lord, that you would bless our time in your word this morning. Speak to our hearts, we pray. We thank you, Lord, for the truth contained in this passage, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We thank you, Lord, for that blessed truth. Lord, we thank you for salvation that you have provided for all mankind. I pray that you bless our time in your word this morning. Speak to our hearts, Lord. For those that have not yet called on Christ for salvation, Lord, I pray that you give them greater understanding this morning as we go through this passage. And Father, for those of us that have, Lord, do a work in our heart concerning the need of those around us and those further afield. Again, Lord, we commit the service there at Bethel Baptist Church this morning. Use Pastor to be a blessing to that congregation there, we pray. Bless the preaching of your word. Bless as Joshua preaches at South City Baptist Church as well this morning. Use him there likewise, we pray. Bless our time in your word this morning, we pray. In Christ's name, amen. Verse 12 tells us here, as we look at this theme, how shall they hear without a preacher? We're going to look firstly at the message and then secondly at the problem. A little heads up, though, the message is not the problem. Verse 12 tells us that all, Jew or Greek, just all who call, verse 13, upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, verse 13, shall be saved. not could be saved, not will be if they do this and that and the other, not if one day they haven't, but shall be saved, saved from their sin. Saved from their sin that verse 9, they confess with their mouth. Saved from their sin. That's the message. The message is that whoever calls upon God can be saved from their sin. That's an amazing message. That's a message that the world needs to hear. And that's why we take March as a church to focus on the need of missions. Because there's millions, probably billions, in this world that have never heard that truth. And there's thousands, if not millions, even in our country, that have not heard that as well. Saved from their sin. We need to recognize our sinfulness and call on God to save us from our sin. That's the message. But you cannot call on God for salvation through Christ until you've believed, this passage tells us. Verse 14, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How can they? You can't believe in something that you don't know yet. You can't call on God for salvation through Christ until you've believed. You might be here this morning and have believed in God all of your life. I had. That was my testimony before I became a Christian. You say, what do you mean? Before you became a Christian, you believed in God. Well, doesn't that make you a Christian? No. Calling on Christ is more than just believing in his existence. How can you say that? The belief here in verse 9 and verse 14 that's referred to just as belief isn't just a belief in God. How can you be so sure? Well, look at verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. It's fair to say, is it not, that the nation of Israel believed in God, believed in his existence. Is that correct? That would be not a logical leap, would it? Israel believed in God's existence. And yet here, in Paul's saying, My desire is that Israel would be saved. If belief in God is enough to save you from your sins, belief in his existence, then Israel didn't need to be saved. But verse 1, Paul says, that's not enough. It's not enough to believe in God's existence. It's good to believe in God's existence. Paul desired, though, that his people would be saved. Simply believing in God's existence isn't salvation. It wasn't enough for the Jew in Paul's day, and it isn't enough for you and I today. Keep your place in Romans 10 and come with me to James chapter 2 for a moment. James chapter 2. You may not still be convinced, and so I think this passage might convince you that belief in God's existence is not enough to take somebody to heaven. It's more than that. James chapter 2, James chapter 2 and verse 19, James 2:19 says, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Belief in God's existence. The devil believes God exists. But I don't think you could find even a cult in this world that would believe that the devil is going to end up in heaven. Belief in God's existence is not enough to take someone to heaven. The devils believe, but are they saved? No. One more passage before we go back to our main text. Galatians chapter 3, thank you. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. It's more than just believing in God's existence. And we see that here as well. Galatians 3, verse 22. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin. All of us are sinners. That the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. The connection here of belief in Jesus Christ, that their sin can be dealt with in Him. See, salvation and the belief that is referred to in our main text, it's a belief that He can deal with your sin. That your sin through Christ can be dealt with. You see, sin separates man from God. God is holy. If sin were to come into God's presence, He would cease to be holy. His presence would no longer be holy, because I as a sinner, or you as a sinner, would enter into His presence and corrupt His presence. But Jesus Christ went to the cross, taking the sins of all humanity upon Himself. And there on the cross cried, "It is finished." What is finished? He wasn't finished. He was still alive at that moment. The payment of sin was finished. He was dying for your sin, for my sin. Belief in our main text, salvation as it's referred to elsewhere, isn't just a belief in God's existence. The devils believe and they tremble. The Jews believed in God's existence, but Paul said they needed to be saved. Salvation comes when a person goes beyond just believing in God's existence, but recognizes that God has provided a way to deal with their sinfulness that up until then separates them from God. We're approaching Easter in just a few weeks. That's what takes place there. That's what transpired there. That's the significance of Easter. That on the cross, Jesus Christ did what I could not do. Deal with my sin. Dealt with your sin. Dealt with the sin of all humanity there on the cross. And belief in that was sufficient. Belief in the fact that would deal with my sinfulness and its effects. Belief in that is what saves somebody from their sin. Back in our main text, back in Romans chapter 10 then, please. Romans chapter 10. How shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? It's impossible to call on Christ until belief. But you cannot believe until you've heard. And I'd heard much about God. I'd heard much about the Bible. I believed in God's existence. But it wasn't until, as an 18-year-old, somebody explained the significance of my sin and what God did on the cross. It wasn't until then I could be saved. Oh, I wanted to go to heaven. I didn't want the other option, that's for sure. I wanted some certainty. And the Bible tells us the certainty, but it's not a belief in God's existence. It's a belief that God can take care of our sins. I'd never heard of the significance as this passage refers to. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'd never heard that. And I'd never heard of the implication of my sinfulness. My sinfulness, your sinfulness is what we need saving from. You don't need saving from my sinfulness. I don't need saving from your sinfulness. But we all need to be saved from our sin. God provided a way that that would be possible in and through Jesus Christ in his payment on the cross. You can call out to God and ask him to save you from it this morning. Yes, belief in God is simple. But is believing in the finished work of Christ on the cross any more complicated? Not really, once we've heard it. Once we've heard it, we can believe in it. When we believe in it, we can call on God for salvation. And whoever calls upon God for salvation shall be saved. That's what this passage teaches us. So you can call out to God and be saved, even this morning. But only if you believe that he can deal with your sinfulness. And only if you believe that that what he did was sufficient to deal with the penalty for sin. But if you've done that, if you have called on Christ for salvation, the Bible says whoever calls on is saved. If you've done that, or if you're willing to do that this morning, it's only because you've heard, this passage tells us. We can only believe if we've heard. You can call if you believe. And you can only do so, what does the passage say? What do I need to be able to believe? Verse 14. I can call once I've believed. But the end of verse 14, how shall they hear without a preacher? See, it wasn't until I was 18 that someone explained that. Until then, I'd never had anyone preach it, explain it, show me what the Bible taught. So I could not be saved. And you might be here this morning that until now you haven't understood that. But now you have. You've heard it. You can believe on Christ this morning and be saved. It's as straightforward as that. It's as straightforward as that. But others that have already done that, or those of you that are willing to this morning, it's only because you've heard from a preacher, either this morning or some other time. So that's the message. But now we come to the problem, that it's impossible to hear without a preacher. That preacher that told you, was either me right now this morning or somebody previous to this, told you about how straightforward salvation can be, about God's provision of salvation for all mankind. But somebody has to tell the one that's going to believe. And that's the problem this morning. That's always been the problem. As the Bible says, and as our title is this morning, how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they hear without a preacher? Firstly, need to ask the question, who is the they? How shall they hear without a preacher? Well, who is they? Who is they? They are those that are near to you. Your neighbours, your colleagues, friends and family. How shall they hear without a preacher? Those in the workplace with you. how will they hear without a preacher? Those in your neighborhood, how will they hear without a preacher? Your family, how will they hear without a preacher? The busker in the tunnel tomorrow morning on your way to work. The guy on the train. The parent at school drop-off tomorrow. How will they hear without a preacher? You've got to preach the gospel. If you know what the gospel is, the simplicity of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ and the finished work of the cross, how will they hear without a preacher? You've got to tell them. You've got to preach the gospel to them. You've got to tell them of what Christ did for them. Because without you telling them, how will they hear without a preacher? Amen? You've got to tell them of the significance. But there's more people than just those that are near us. On Wednesday night, we intend to letterbox the community, invite them to the Easter services. How would they hear otherwise? There's not an aisle in Woolworths that halfway down on the left-hand side on that second bottom shelf, sir, you'll find salvation. How are they going to hear otherwise? God doesn't fly skywriting planes. He's got it here in His Word for you. For you to believe on personally, and once you have, to share with those around us. But the they is not just those that are near. The they also refers to those that are far off. We've got to tell them as well. How will they hear without a preacher? And that's why we have Missions Month. They won't hear without a preacher. That's the simplicity of it, isn't it? That's why we support missionaries financially and prayerfully. That's the whole reason that we focus March on missions. That's why as we prepare to worship the Lord with our tithes and our offerings, that's why we read a prayer letter. It's not to only inform us, it's then to fuel our prayers for that missionary and their ministry so that we can pray for them, we can support them in prayer. We know how to pray for them rather than just, Lord, bless the missionaries. We have a responsibility that now, once we know, to tell the they, those that are near, and the they that are far off as well. That's why we support missionaries. That's why we encourage each year to fill out the faith promise commitment. Because when we do that, when we indicate each week, I'm going to give this amount of money to the missionaries that our church supports. When we all do that, we can add that up, and that's one of the joys of my roles. I love counting them. Every year I get to count them. When we add them all up, it's enough to support these missionaries financially, faithfully, every month. Prayerfully and financially. That's why we encourage Faith Promise Missions. As the cards go in the offerings, we count them up. And there's the $5, and there's the 50 cents, and there's the $15, and there's the $100, and there's the 75 cents, and they all add up to be enough to support faithfully our missionaries. And those small amounts are just as encouraging as any other amount, because it means everybody is contributing by faith what they can give. We have a responsibility to tell those that are near and to help to tell those that are far off as well. That's the they. So firstly, how shall they hear without a preacher? The they. Who are the they? They are near and they are far. Secondly, who is the preacher? How shall they hear without a preacher? Who is the preacher? Well, implied in that phrase, in that question, how shall they hear without a preacher, is the very fact, shall they hear without a preacher? Very definitely, the answer is no. It doesn't mean the preacher standing here in the pulpit this morning. Because someone in Zambia, yesterday afternoon, I guess it would be there, or last night, cannot hear me. As loud as Jan pumps that system, no one in Zambia is going to hear us last night. It's not the preacher in the pulpit, it's the Christian in the street. It's you, beloved. It's me. Out amongst those that are near us and seeking to reach those that are far from us. Who is the preacher? Shall they hear without a preacher? The child of God is the preacher. Look at again at verse 1. Romans 10 verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Verse 3. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Paul said, they are my responsibility. He's praying for his nation's salvation. Are you? Are you praying for other nations' salvation? Are you praying that they will turn to Christ? Paul was. He was praying for his nation. Because he recognized their ignorance. He recognized their ignorance. That they were going about to try and make up some way for themselves to be righteous, when the righteousness of God is provided already in Jesus Christ. That's why salvation is through Christ, because His righteousness is sufficient in God's eyes, because Christ was righteous. Like Paul, you and I need to take responsibility for this. There are billions who will never hear of this if we don't tell them. And if we don't support those that have gone further than we can. Here Paul took responsibility for those around him. And he recognized their ignorance. It implies that he wasn't ignorant. Is that true? He recognized their ignorance. To recognize their ignorance, he must not be ignorant of God's righteousness. Beloved, we are the preacher. Once we know the truth of God's word, we need to apply it firstly to our own life. We need to be saved. And again, if you're here this morning and have not yet called on God, it's more than a belief in His existence. It's a belief in Christ's righteousness, in His sufficiency to deal with your sin. But once we've recognized that, that Christ is sufficient, we need to recognize it's imperative on us that we tell others too. Have you believed? Have you believed? If you have, you're a preacher. Preacher of this truth. And thirdly, not only have we seen who the they is in reference to and who the preacher is, and this is the crux of the problem. How shall they hear without a preacher? Verse 15, how shall they preach except they be sent? Our third point then is, who can preach except they're sent? People need to be sent. You cannot preach unless you're sent. You need to take yourself to your neighbor and tell them about Christ. You need to take yourself off your comfortable position and tell the person in the train their need of Christ. You need to take yourself across the street to the mum that you're kind of familiar with, you see every Monday at school drop-off, and tell her. You need to take yourself to your family, your friends, and tell them. And for those that are beyond our reach, we need to help support those that are able to go further afield. This is the very heart of the problem. We are responsible for those that are within reach of us. And we are also responsible to help those that are able to go further. Those beyond your reach can be reached. And that's again why we use the faith promise, so that we have monies to give them, so they don't have to work on the mission field. They can focus on reaching those that you and I can't reach for the glory of God. That is the purpose of the missions program. It's incumbent on every generation to do more than the previous generation. Why do you say that? Well, is the world's population growing or shrinking? The world's population is growing. So this generation of Christians needs to do more to reach our generation than the last generation. We need to get busy, beloved. We need to get moving. We need to get off our comfortable position and tell those that will never hear without a preacher of what Christ has done for them, what Christ has done for you, what Christ has done for them. We're responsible to tell them. Some of us here this morning dreamed of being used of God in our younger years. But now, time has passed, and what are we doing? Perhaps in Sunday school or youth group, years ago you thought, I would like to be used of God. I would like to be a preacher. Well, what's happened? There are more to reach than when you had that inkling. Now than then. There are more people in need of Christ now than ever before. There are more missionaries that need supporting. There's more churches that are in need of planting and need a pulpit filled. And what are we doing, beloved? We're comfortable putting our faith promise missions in the offering every week. And that's our responsibility for the week. And that is our responsibility. But there's more. There's much more that some of us need to do. Some of us have not been praying for our missionaries as we ought to have been. We need to lift our game to support them in prayer. Some of us that need to say, I need to go as a preacher. I need to go and prepare to be the preacher that God wants me to be. Some of us here this morning, I can't reconcile this fact any other way, beloved. Show me if there's another way. But there are churches in our nation that don't have pastors. There are cities in our nation and obviously around the world that don't have gospel preaching churches. How shall they hear without a preacher? Therefore, I can only reconcile it some this way, beloved, that there are people sitting in churches of like faith and our church that should be heeding God's call and are not. That should be pastoring a church by now, and that's why there's a church without a pastor. I can't reconcile it any other way. God is not going to take an unsaved person of bus 362 tomorrow morning and make him a pastor in a church tomorrow that hasn't got a pastor, just because that church needs a pastor. He uses God's people. He uses saved people that are responding to his call. So can we reconcile it any other way? I don't think so. There are people in our churches that are not listening to God's call. And so again I say, there are some of us here that used to dream of God using us, but now life is upon you. Where's your passion? Where's that passion gone? Who can preach unless they're sent? We need to send more. If it's incumbent on us to do more than previous generations, then surely we need to give more. We need to send more to the missionaries. We need to do more. And more of us have to go to replace those that have gone and to supplement those that have gone. The regions beyond you need missionaries. Churches around us need pastors. And so therefore there must be Christians in our churches that are either not listening to God's call or are listening and are refusing to yield. Beloved, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. If God's working on your heart for the cause of missions, he is faithful. Trust him. Don't fear yourself. Yield to God. Do what he's leading you to do. Speak to that person tomorrow on the train. That person in the bus queue tomorrow. Speak to them. Don't hold back. You know the truth that they need. They don't even know that they need it yet. And if God needs you to do more than that, don't be afraid of that either. How shall they hear without a preacher? Shall they hear without a preacher? No. We've spoken about the message this morning. We've spoken about the problem this morning. The problem is people will not hear the message without someone telling them. You might be here this morning and you hadn't ever heard that message before. That's okay. You have now. I plead with you. Do something about it. Yield to God. If you have not been saved, let's get that settled today. And those of us that are saved, we need to respond to God. Because he's saying, what are you doing for me and the cause of Christ? Let's have every head bowed. Let's be upstanding, please.